Lord, I thank you for Jenny. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, I thank you for bringing her here and that she's part of our family. Lord, thank you for the wisdom that you have laid on her shoulders. Lord, we can see clearly the anointing that you've given her. Lord, the anointing to lead, the anointing to be able to hear what it is your spirit is saying. And Lord, such a heart for missions. Such a heart for the state of this world and how we can be involved in something further than our local community. Lord, I pray as she speaks this morning, as she talks about the work of Sim and what she does and some of our own people who are around the world, Lord, I pray that we would have ears to hear. Lord, I pray that you'd stir something in us, in each one of us, Lord, on how, what our part to play is in this. In your name, amen. Amen.
So as Daniel mentioned, my name is Jenny. Readjusting for the, you know, natural height of people. And this is normally the part where I would say, and I'm part of the leadership of Christie's Beach. But actually today I'm wearing a different hat or a different name tag. So I'm coming to you in my day job at this point. So I work for a mission organization called SIM. That's our logo. So I don't know, some of you have seen it before. Some of you are like, yeah, we've heard this a lot. And this church particularly has had a lot of relationship with SIM for a very long time. We've actually been supporting one family continuously for 13 years, which is really cool. That's an incredible relationship we have with people who've been working for a long time in a very different part of the world than we live in. So I'll share with you just a little bit about SIM. We are an international, multi-denominational mission organization, which means we are in a lot of places. So we're from about 70 countries to about 70 countries. Yeah, that's actually correct. we've got over 4,000 workers. We're in this stage of life where we're navigating a lot of language. Language like missions and missionary hold a very particular connotation. And then when we share with people some of the things we do, they're like, well, is that really missions? Well, we're like, okay, well, let's see. Let's ask the question. Let's dig into it. And let's see if the language we're using actually shows what we do. So I would say, you know what? We're a large, multicultural, multi-denominational, multi-world perspective group of people who have a passion to make the gospel known, to make it known, in places where it hasn't been heard before, to raise up the church where it needs support, to build bridges between different parts of the church that exist in different parts of the world. So our focus is least reach communities, multicultural teams, and local partnerships. So when SIM begins something, if something new is starting, often it has come from the location where it's starting. Very seldom do we have an idea that has come from somewhere else and is brought into a location, because often that has to be adjusted a lot to actually work. So generally what happens is from a place, either the local church or a partnership organization or maybe someone who's connected with SIM who spent time there, begins a conversation that says, is there a way that we can partner with the local church here, with the local community here, to do this thing? And that can be a way in which we live out the gospel through our actions and through the way we live, the way we present ourselves, the way we operate. Because the gospel is really about how we live out our life. And when you transplant someone from one place to another, regardless of where those two places are, what you have is a person who's on display. A person who is observed. Maybe because they're different, maybe because they're more conscious of what they're doing, because they have transported. They don't have a life that has sections. All of their life, their entire role in that place is actually about living out the gospel on display. So that gives you a bit of a feel for SIM. We've been around a while, like a long while. we just had our 125th a couple years ago. So it's, and you know, through experience. We've gone through a lot of changes. We've learned a lot of things. A mission organization that's this big and this old does a lot of learning. A lot of learning. We can tell you a lot of things that don't work. A lot of things that are not good ideas. A lot of things that we have not done well. But we can also tell you stories about how God has worked, sometimes in spite of us, sometimes through us, and always invited us into his work of what's going on and the ways that we can be partnered together with the Holy Spirit in the way that he's moving. So that gives you a bit of an idea of who SIM is. I did restrain myself from pulling out the usual videos that I have of our international director introducing us, because you're going to see quite a few videos today. So I figured I'd ease up on that end. But if you do want to know more, head online. We are on YouTube. I think we're even on Twitter. Goodness gracious. I haven't been brave enough for that zone myself. But you can always find our information online if you want more details. You can come talk to me over here. I've got all of my things set up. And I can tell you from experience that a lot of what we put together is a lot of time, it's a lot of effort, and it's a lot of real people and real stories. So, SIM in this church. So the family that we have supported here through SIM, they're called the Smiths. And this is not the first time. we've prayed for them. When they were home on their last home assignment, we had them here and they shared with us. And that was really beautiful. They've been in our prayers because COVID has been really rough for them. So this is actually an old picture. This is about the time they came to visit us last. So you're going to see in a minute that things have changed. Children have grown. So during COVID, their son, Liam, who is the oldest boy, was at school in Kenya. They were actually in South Africa, away from their home location in Mozambique, because the two youngest girls were sick and needed medical treatment. So they were in South Africa for medical treatment when COVID began. And the school shut down, Rift Valley Academy, where Liam was going, and all the kids were sent home as quickly as possible to try and get them back to their families before the flight stopped. So thinking that mom and dad would be back in Mozambique fairly quick, which was their plan, Liam headed back to Mozambique and stayed with some friends. Unfortunately, the border closed quite quickly, and the family was stuck in South Africa, and Liam was in Mozambique, and that lasted a couple of months before they could finally make their way very creatively across the border and be back together again. Their two oldest daughters live here in Australia. One is living in the city studying at Tabor. The other is married and lives out on York Peninsula. And so they're a family that is widespread. So now that you kind of have a feeling for who they are, I wanted to see if I could convince you to take a little trip to Mozambique with me. Because wouldn't it be cool if we could actually go and visit them there? So they've helped me out. We've done our best to have a little bit of a visit with the Smiths in Mozambique. So that was a bit of a quick trip. No coronavirus traveling, no government permission, no long flights, so it's kind of nice. And that was all shot within this last week, so that's all really recent. You can see how much the kids have grown. We get a chance to actually see the farm that they're running out there. And it's one of those special things when you get to see the human side of things. It's like they're real people, they're a real family with real kids doing real life in a very different place. Where their life is on display and their purpose is to share the gospel, to live the gospel. So can we just take a minute and pray over them before we move on? Just thinking of, they have had a really tough year. There's a number of additional things that they didn't mention. Their house was robbed, and they lost all of their tech. In addition to a number of travel difficulties as well. Let's just lift them up before the Lord as we continue. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up the Smiths before you, and We know your love for them. Also, Lord, we know their heart for ministry. And you know that it's been a really tough year for them. It's been hard to be separated as a family. It's been hard to try and figure out what it is that you're asking of them in a location where a number of their usual ministry opportunities and their usual activities are shut down because of COVID. And Lord, I thank you so much for the resilience that they've shown, for the ways that they have looked for every opportunity that you would bring to be involved in ministry. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the work that they are doing. We know that it's not how much we do. It's how obedient we are and how much we're following you. And Lord, I thank you for that you are still working even when our plans don't pan out. And Lord, we specifically pray over them coming back. Lord, you know that there's a number of hurdles that have to be dealt with for that to be possible. And Lord, we bring those before you, and we ask that you would make it possible for them to come home. Lord, and when they do, I pray that you would prepare us to receive them as a supporting church, to be an encouragement to them, Lord, and to build that bridge between us and them and their ministry stronger again. Thank you for this beautiful family. In Jesus' name. Yeah, so that's kind of cool. And now it brings you and me to the next SIM or SIM people that this church supports, which is, oh, look, it's us. So I've been working with SIM on and off for about the last 13 years. I started by working with SIM in Canada and then served overseas with them, happened to meet an Australian while doing so, thought he was pretty cool. That went really well, and now we live here. And Tom and I served over in Ethiopia with SIM, and you guys were our sending church, so you know all about that. And then when we came back, I stayed on with SIM on a very part-time basis, as that was about what I could handle, having little ones at home. And more recently, I've stepped into a new role with SIM. Began in August as the regional ministry director for SIM, overseeing ministry in South Australia, Western Australia, and Northern Territories. I like to tease, you know, the rest of my co-workers whose regions, they may have more people in them, but they're smaller geographically. So I like to say, okay, well, update on this half of Australia. Now, it is an honor and a pleasure to be part of the SIM team. And so I just wanted to share a little bit with you about what that's like. And one of those parts you've just seen, one part of my role is actually making the connections between missionaries and their churches. So making connections between the Smiths and bringing it to you and making a connection between you and them. And as I was looking at, oh gosh, how am I going to explain what my job is? Alan Milhouse, who previously had this job, he's like, well, why don't you make someone else do it? I was like, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. So we've got another video, because videos are great. and just going to share a little bit about what other people see as my role within SIM.
Us just to grow in experience as we prepare to go. So we want to encourage you and really thank you for getting behind her, because she, by doing so, by supporting her, you're supporting Aussie missionaries just like us all over the world. So thank you very much and see you later.
Since 2018, Jenny and I have developed a project called Interwoven. Out of our hearts to see missionary kids physically, spiritually, and mentally thrive on the mission field. We exist to develop intentionally gospel-filled content and authentic spaces for relationships with MKs. We have done this by connecting with the challenges of the MKs personally, experienced through curriculum, resources, and relationships. We have already written three projects, God in a Mess, God in the Cracks, COVID version, which has been used throughout the world. And we are currently in the process of writing our next one, Transition Planners. It has been amazing to work with Jenny. Her energy and her love for TCKs is shown. She brings a lot of energy to the project, as she is a TCK herself. And I'm can't wait to see where God takes us with this project.
So that shows you some of the groups of people that I work with. So people who are looking into going into cross-cultural ministry, journeying with them in that process of seeking what does it look like, how would that work, and going about the steps to make it happen. Working with those who are already on the field as a connection. And then there's another group of people that I work with, and that's the partner church. And you're so lucky because today we've got someone who represents a partner church here to share with you a little bit about what I do in relationship to partnering churches. Thanks, Daniel.
It's really hard for Jenny, as you can imagine, to talk about herself. I don't find it so hard to talk about myself. But it isn't easy, particularly when we're talking about support, and there's an awful lot that goes unsaid, rarely, when you're in a leadership position, but you are, you are also doing involved yourself. So you are aware that we've had over many years, we have supported Jenny in her role, and also Tom, particularly when they were overseas and in Ethiopia, and finding their feet when they came back again, and where they fit in, and all of that kind of stuff, it's a difficult time for that to be able to happen. But Jenny quickly went into just keeping and maintaining that relationship with SIM, and for financial reasons, Tom went back to work, and that's what he's been doing for the past, the past little while. And so the way that things have also happened is that we as a church asked Jenny, in order to take on our missions. It's often better for somebody who's been on missions to be leading the missions team, and I know that, or certainly be part of it. I know David Dawes has been a major part of that, because unless you've been, you don't really know what it's like and what the needs are and such forth. But obviously Jenny, also in her role working with the churches and the people, is very is at the center of that. And so we as a church, we've asked Jenny to do that. We also brought her on to our leadership team. She's one part of our oversight team here as well. And it's not necessarily difficult, but as part of that team, she can't advocate. It's very hard to advocate for herself, because we've got, for instance, a set budget that we do for our missions. We have increased that over the years, and we're trying to make sure that as a church, not that churches need to tithe, but we are making sure that our church gives away 10% of its income outside of ourselves. So we're not talking about FEC here, because that's in addition to that. But as a church, that's what we want to do. But that means, as head of our missions, the more that we give financially to Jenny, the less that Jenny has in order to spend and give, to be able to give to the people that we want to support moving forward. So it's a very difficult area in making sure that we're navigating that with integrity, but also making sure that Jenny feels, not just feels, but Jenny is supported in the role that she's doing. And also Tom, with the family as well, because it's not, anybody of you who've been involved in ministry know that it's not just the person who's, who's there. It's very much a family impact. And I think, we're going to hear more as time goes on of Tom as well. I know what's on their lives and what they're, there's things stirring with them as a family as to that as well. So we as a church, we are, there's a few roles. So there's the role that Jenny has as one of the person who's looking after all of our missions as a church, making sure that we're doing best practice, making sure that we're building up long-term relationships, getting our policies worked on, and making sure that we're thinking through the things. Some of the conversations that we're beginning to have as to what missions may look like for us as a church, I think is quite exciting. We're actually looking to make sure that we have the giftings that are on us. We're looking to be able to work with people and organizations that will benefit, and vice versa, things that we're wanting to learn and experience and be beginning to find out about. We're looking at connecting with people and organizations who can actually impact into us as well. So on a purely financial basis, we want to be able to support Jenny, but as I mentioned, there is this element. The more that we give Jenny, actually, the less that we have. So we're looking very much to some of you. You know, we believe in tithing as a church, but we also, or as individuals, we encourage tithing of giving a certain amount to the storehouse, which we see as a church. But we also have, over and above that, we see there's a place for gifts and offerings over and above that. And for those of you who also have that same understanding, we'd like to encourage you to look at the work that that Jenny does and look to support her yourselves. Now, some of you used to support her when she was out in Africa. Now, to be honest, often it's much more attractive in some ways to support, I don't know, a kid's work in Africa, or there's just something within us that likes that. But if we're saying that we're helping somebody who's working in organization and in Australia here, it has a different emotional contact context with us sometimes. But I do want to encourage you that we look to support them as a family, ourselves individually, and you can do that regularly through SIM. But also there's the opportunity, if something happens and you find yourselves with a little bit of extra money for whatever reason, just being able to bless them would be something that was certain as a church we would really encourage you to do. So there's this dual thing of the roles that Jenny is doing in regards to our own missions. There's the work that she's doing into SIM. There's also the relationship that she has with the individuals and the churches. But there's also, I think for any of you who know Tom and Jenny, we can also see a growing, the call's always been on their lives, and there is a real, they are a real gift to us as a congregation. And sometimes when people are part of our own congregation, we don't necessarily see or honor that until they're not around. And then we go, oh dear. Now, I'm not saying they're going anywhere, but I am saying let's value them while they're here, and let's encourage them and support them. And not just financially, but I think the big thing that the family would ask for is prayer covering as well. Can we make sure that we are praying for them, for the role that they're doing, for encouragement a lot of the time, for the stamina, for their family, for their boys who are, they're a full-time job in themselves, but we continue to pray for them. So I think that's most of the things. There's a wide-ranging role and remit that as a church we're trying to navigate to make sure we do that with integrity. But make sure you do keep them at the center of your thoughts and prayers. And ask questions. Ask ask about some of the people. Ask to be connected. There is emails that you can get about what SIM are doing and the work there. But have conversations with the family. And if you don't already love them because you don't know them, change it, for goodness sake.
Thank you, Daniel. I was waiting for that little remark to come out the side though. They're a real treasure. Oh. It's an incredible gift to be part of a church. So this kind of strange world where my roles overlap here. It's actually quite precious because I get to be in relationship with you. I get to know you. I get to journey with you through the things that we are doing together as a church, the things that we are learning together as we're growing together. And that is a really precious thing. That's really special. And the longer I'm involved in cross-cultural ministry, the more that I am convinced that relationship is actually central. It's not just a good idea. It's not just an advantage. It's actually central to what we do and what we are. I wanted to share a passage with you that just, I feel like it's the hub around which all this kind of tends to circulate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I wanted to start a couple of verses earlier just because it feels appropriate. We'll start in verse 13. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. I figured we'd start with that. Because a lot of things that go on when you look at people all over the world are, why are you going there? You're uprooting your family. You're taking your kids. A lot of those things, it's like, are you out of your mind? It's going to seem that way sometimes, because sometimes what God asks us to do doesn't fit with the world's economy. It doesn't fit with what we're told is the right way that people do things. You know, you settle down, you establish a home, maybe you buy a house, you have a steady job. Don't depend on anyone else for anything. Make sure that you are financially stable within yourself. For a lot of missionaries, that's just not the reality of life. Sometimes they do have a home, sometimes they don't. But that's not the point. The point is that they've heard God say, I'm challenging you to follow me in this way. And they say, okay. In their broken human way, they say, okay. And they go. And God says, I can use that. It's not about who they are. It's not necessarily about what they bring. It's not some sort of special person. It's about God actually working through people who are willing. And that's an incredible thing. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Sometimes we have to make sense of the things we do for the people that we are in relationship with. We have to share our heart. We have to share what it is that God's saying to us, how he's leading us. And we have to share in that together, because this is not something that can be done alone. It's not something that people can just go out on their own and do. Even in situations where maybe there isn't an official organization or a label, there is a partnership of prayer and a partnership of relationship that is vital to ministry of any kind. Just ask a pastor, you know, ask anybody who's in full-time ministry, could you do it without relationship? Could you do it without prayer? For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. It's such a poignant verse. We are compelled by the love of Christ. The more that we look at Christ, the more that we know him, the more we come to understand this exceptional love of God reaching in and inviting us into his story, into his work. God's not waiting for you to invite him into your story. God's waiting there with an open invitation for you to come into his. And it's this crazy thing. You think about this. This passage was written a really long time ago to people who didn't think the way that we think. They didn't live the way that we live. And it has so much meaning for us now, even though we are not the same people it was written to. And all over the world, there are groups of people who are also coming face to face with the love of Christ. They are reading passages like this, and they are understanding them in ways that are not the same as we understand them. and they don't think about them in the same way we think about them. As a global church, we need one another so that we can understand more fully what it is that God is saying to us. The longer I'm involved, the more I am convinced that we cannot actually live out the fullness of our faith without having the difference of the global church. We need other voices. We need a bigger vision of what God is doing. If we stay in our own world without those voices coming in to share with us, to teach us, to challenge us, we will stay this big. That's where we'll stay. And God has called us to something so much bigger. We need a relationship with the global church. I see cross-cultural ministry as having two major roles. The first one is to live out our faith, sharing the gospel where God has given us the opportunity to do so with for those who have not heard. The second thing is to build bridges between groups of believers all over the world. Through the Smiths, we're connected to a church in Mozambique that hasn't been allowed to meet for months on end. And yet we have this connection through prayer, as we pray for them, as we listen to them, as they listen to this group of people they're having a Bible study with. They're going to learn things. They're going to share them with us. And we're going to be exposed to thinking that's not the same way we think. And yet the Spirit of God is moving. We're going to be challenged. We're going to grow. And just like the church body, where we come, and I'm not talking just about Sundays, but whenever we come to church, come to be church, we bring what we can give, and we also look for what we need. It's a two-way relationship. It's same with the global church. We bring what we can, and we look for what God would teach us. Always, we come with two hands open. And I am convinced that there is an incredible purpose in why God made so many different kinds of people with different worldviews, different perspectives, different ways of reading scripture, hearing it, different experiences, and that we actually need that as the church. I worry sometimes that there can be an idea that we who are extremely privileged to have access to God's written word and to be able to meet together freely and talk over things, we feel like we have all this and we need to take all this to those who don't have all this. But God's not waiting for us. God's not saying, okay, well, I gave you the gospel and I'll wait for you to take that gospel that only you have to someone else. God's gospel is going out. He's preparing hearts. God's mobilizing people in other parts of the world to come to Australia, to minister to groups of people here who have been marginalized, to groups of people here who don't know the word. This is our God. It's not just a one role. It's not the haves bringing to the have-nots. It's taking a step into our role as part of the global church. This is something that's very much on my heart, and I could get lost down that rabbit hole because I love to go there. I was talking with one of my coworkers who he is involved in a very creative ministry in a place where that ministry is not encouraged by the government. In fact, very discouraged by the government. And we had a conversation. And he said to me, you know, I see the Western church, and it's so established, and it's so open, and yet there's not a lot of people who want to go. And he says, I think what God's asking me to say to this church is, okay, send those who do. Look at those who said, God's moving us to go, and send them and be involved in that journey. And it challenged me for a moment to think about how sometimes we are so busy praising God for the advantages that we have in our own context that we forget to ask him what it is he's challenging us to do. Is it right to praise him for our privileges? Yes. Is it right to praise him for the gifts that he gives us? Yes. It may only be for a time. Throughout the last, even just the last 10 years, and you can go back further than that, you've seen nations who once had religious freedom lose it and become a very different type of place, where gathering together publicly to worship God is no longer allowed. This is a time that we live in. It is not a guaranteed time. It may not last forever. I'm not a predictor of politics. I'm just watching the world, knowing things change. But our God does not. And as long as he is the core and we are listening, he will grow us as believers, as a church, as a member of the global body. So my challenge to you today is, what is God saying to you? What is it? What is the role that he has given you in this journey? Is it to pray? Is it to share? Is it to support? Is it to go? The greatest thing that we can do is just obey, because he's already doing it. And we can just join with him in his story and his mission to the world.